Welcome to Career Tools. This week, relationship diversity. The questions this cast answers are, how do I measure my network? What is relationship diversity? And in what areas should I have contacts?
If you're a director, you need roadmap. You need to be able to see whether or not your managers are rolling out one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and delegation. You can drill down with roadmap, if you've got it and your direct managers have it, to see how they're doing and what they're doing, and keep apprised of how they're doing such that you can talk to them about it. Hopefully, it'll be positive feedback. Check out roadmap.
Kate, this podcast, this guidance came out of a conversation that I had with somebody recently, and he wanted to go into a particular industry. He'd been in the forces, he'd come out and he'd spent some time using his GI Bill to get some education, and now he was ready to go into a profession, something hopefully that was kind of related to what he did in the forces, but also enhanced by the fact that he'd had some education in the area as well. And he wanted to go to this particular industry, not a very difficult industry to get into, not really, but something in particular. So the first thing I asked, of course, is, who do you know who works in that industry? And he said, I don't know anybody. And I said, okay, so do you know anyone who wants to do the job you want to do, but not in that industry? No. Okay. This is not a good place to be if you want a new job in a particular area. But it is really easy to start building relationships that you need. So this is kind of what I went through with him. These are the ideas. These are the places that you can meet people in industries or in jobs that you want to be in. And the idea of meeting people is, because we've said on other casts, 30% of jobs are filled by referrals. So 30% of all of the hires across the US, probably across the world, the offers are made to people who knew somebody in the company. It's the best way to get a new job. And so that's why we're emphasizing meeting people in real life who actually do the job that you want to do. And of course, there are other ways to get jobs. We have guidance called Search the Big Picture, which talks about having multiple ways or working multiple streams to get a job at the same time. But this is one of the best. So that's why we're emphasizing it.
If you have multiple relationships in different areas, it's much easier to find a job in that industry or in the new sphere that you're looking in. And so today we're going to cover some areas that you need to have contacts in. Because if you only have relationships with people in your bubble, like in one circle of your life, then your network may not be diverse enough for you to really get out there and get a new job. And maybe you have a bunch of relationships with, you know, parents of the other kids at your school, but you don't know anyone else. Or maybe you know a bunch of people just from maybe your gym class or something like that. You can always, you know, leverage those relationships into maybe like play dates for the kids or a new gym instructor. But if you want to change jobs, you're going to need to know a lot more people outside of that circle. And so another way to say that is that if your relationship pool is homogenous, then we need to start getting more people in there so it can be diverse. There's five areas that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the same industry, the same profession, the same geographical area, the same professional level, online and offline, and then we're going to talk about a next step, which is move to adjacent areas.
It seems like a long list.
It's not too bad.
So we'll start with same industry. So the industry is the area of the economy that you work in. So if you look at the US Bureau of Labor Statistics, they have a list on their website if you're not sure what counts as an industry and what doesn't, or if somebody, if you're new to the workforce and you're looking for an industry, then it's a good place to start. It doesn't matter where you are, the US list is as good as any other. So let's take the example of someone who just finished school and they trained to be a hotel manager, and now they need to get their first job in hotel management. So our first question would be, who do you know in the hotel industry? If it were you, maybe you'd worked through school. So you were in school for the hospitality industry. Maybe you worked at a hotel at the weekends to get money and you'd know people there. Maybe you would do an internship in a hotel as part of your course. Maybe you always stay in the same hotel for vacations and you know people there. It doesn't matter if you don't want to work in any of those places. Say you worked in a hotel while you were in school. It was convenient to where your school was. It was convenient for other reasons, but you would never want to work there full time. It doesn't matter, because right now all you need is the relationships. Maybe you know only know the people in banquets, right? Maybe you know the banquets manager, but that person will know other banquets managers in other hotels, and those people will know the hotel managers, and so they can make connections for you. Maybe they can tell you, you've got the schooling, but what you need is actually some practical practice in this, and that's the only way you get this job. Those people can tell you who's hiring and who's not. And they can link you to people who can give you more information. It's not so much that they are going to give you a job. It's that they have information that's useful to you.
And if you don't know anyone in that industry, it's pretty easy to start building relationships there. If you're looking online, there's groups, all kinds of groups for every industry. And, you know, if you do even just a quick search, there's a few listed in our show notes, and we'll list them here about ones groups that you could join from the hotel industry. There's American Hotel and Lodging Association. There's Arizona Hotel and Motel Association, Asian American Hotel Owners, Boutique and Lifestyle Lodging. All of these groups, and there's more, are just from a Google search of industry professional group. And if you can search that in your industry, right, then you can find these groups to join, and then you can start to build the relationships. You can go to the groups, you can follow them online, and you could also go to them in person. There's probably a group in your local area where you could go meet some people and learn more about your industry and make those connections so that you can go and meet them and diversify your relationships by including people in the industry that you want to work in. And it's really as simple as that, right? Because all these people are there to meet others as well. And so we can just simply Google the industry group and then go and meet them.
You're right. That's what people are meeting for, to meet other people, to exchange information.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going there and you're the only person who wants information. It's not like going to a group that are meeting for some other purpose and you're a reporter and you want to get a story. That's not, you know, and so you're somehow outside or different from their purpose. You are actually going to a group which has the same purpose as you, to exchange information.
It's so simple. You just Google the list and then you can go down there. It's like, okay, you can just go down there and meet them. And they really are. They're there for the same reason you are. So that's a way that you can meet people in your same industry, right? You could, if you know people in your industry, you can leverage those relationships. If you don't, then you can simply look for some groups in your area where you can go meet people or follow some industry groups online. The next step to focus on is within your same profession. People in the same profession as you are, we're defining that as people who have the same job as you. So for example, if you're a hotel manager, if you're a finance manager, a dental office manager, maybe a marketing manager, we all have the same profession. Those people all have the same profession, which is management, but their industries are different. So before we talked about the hotel industry. Now we're going to talk about management as a profession. And to find groups that are other managers, if we're talking about your profession, all we would need to do is just Google manager professional group or whatever your profession is. And there are hundreds of groups, even just in management. There are hundreds of management groups. In fact, there's two different groups for the managers of dental offices, and one of them has three chapters in Indiana by itself.
It's amazing, isn't it, that something so specific would have two different industry professional organizations, and that there would be so many in a state that it doesn't get mentioned much. So I'm assuming that, I want to say it's not very important. I'm sure that Indiana will be very upset by that, but it's not one that comes up a lot. So the fact that they have three different chapters of such a specific group really amazed me when I did that. And you are usually allowed to go to visit groups several times before you join up. A lot of the time, these are quite expensive. They might be like $100 or $200 to join, but you can usually attend a few times so you can actually make those relationships without spending any money. And often, if you're a student or if you are just beginning in the profession, there are often discounted rates for you to be able to go. So don't let the money put you off. Go meet them anyway. You know, if you turn up one time, they're not going to say to you, oh, hand over your $200. They're going to welcome you and you will make relationships in that first meeting, and then you can work on getting the money together to join if that's what you want to do. And if you're already working in an area that you want to remain in, then ask the people around you what professional group they're in, right? Accountants are always in a professional group because they have to have continuing education. Lawyers are the same. And so they often join professional groups. And so you can ask, you know, which is the best one around here? Which one are you a member of?
Absolutely. I used to work with a gentleman who was really involved in a lot of professional groups, and he was a great resource for which groups were best, which groups, you know, meetings were effective or enjoyable, what groups really were very serious about networking or new career opportunities. And some groups, you know, they focus on different things. So maybe one group is about continuing education and one group is about career guidance or something like that. And so you can make relationships at any of the groups. Any of them will be useful for diversifying your network. And perhaps you'd like to focus on one particular group because that's the kind of thing that you're interested in, right? And maybe it's a management group, so it's in your profession, but it's a management group for people who are focusing on getting a certain certificate or something like that. So you could even join a group that would be helpful in both ways, because what we're really focusing on today is diversifying your network and getting you some people in your network that can help you with your job search and things like that. So you can ask the people who know. And oftentimes there's someone in a few of the groups.
That's true.
Yeah. This gentleman was, we were systems engineers. And so he was in a systems group, and then he was in an engineering group and professional engineers group. And so he really knew a lot of these groups and a lot of like different relationships that were there. And so you can ask someone that knows, and they've probably been, and they might say, oh, that group is too small or too big or something, you know. They have more guidance, right? That's just more data about which group you might want to be in. And it's good to go because it doesn't matter what the purpose of the group is, really, if you're looking for groups in your profession and your industry and things like that. Because what we're really looking for is to talk to people about our network, about us. And so we can meet with these people at the groups. We can find anyone from any of these groups and ask them if they're, you know, willing to help us with our career or willing to talk about other things in our industry. Again, because they're all there to exchange information as well.
And a lot of people who are more senior, maybe that have been in the workforce for like 5 or 10 years or much longer, really enjoy helping people who are just getting into an industry. That's part of the reason that they're at these groups, because they like watching people grow and helping those people grow. So don't feel like you are interrupting people or you're somehow putting a burden on them. A lot of the time, these people are in these groups because they want to help.
You can ask the people that you meet if they'd mind meeting with you. Maybe you will have them do informational interviews with you or career guidance meetings and things like that. You can absolutely ask the people that you meet if they would help you with that.
And if they say no, you've lost nothing. And I bet 9 times out of 10, they'll say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's profession, right? So now we're going to cover geography. So we're looking now for people in your same geographical area. And this one's pretty simple. You know, we talked at the beginning of the cast about if your network only includes parents of your children's friends, then you already know people in your geographical area. In fact, a lot of us probably do know people in our same geographical area. There's a lot of ways to meet people. We might go to churches or interest groups, maybe hiking or knitting, sports, homeowners associations, volunteering, all these kinds of things are groups that you could be involved in your geographical area. And you can, again, just Google groups near me. You may need to go past the first page because there's going to be a lot of groups, but you will find hundreds of groups of people meeting in your area. People love to come together, and people you know in your area will really help you with local knowledge. They might know about new companies or construction. They might know about places that are hiring or what clubs are worth joining. They might know about events where you can meet people. In fact, right now, I think there's a big push. There's a lot of these new groups out there where you can join, where they sign people up from your neighborhood. It's kind of like the new neighborhood watch thing. And it's like an app where you can sign up and meet your neighbors. And people post things like, hey, I got so-and-so's mail, or we saw a dog running around, things like that. But these are the kind of pieces of information that aren't maybe helpful for your career, but it's these kinds of sharing groups. You know, that's the kind of information that might be useful to you. And so if you can find a group in your area that's sharing that kind of information, that's a positive because it's just more data.
You're right. I used to be a member of, and I'm not now because they don't have it in my area, but there's a website called Nextdoor that's exactly that. A lot of the local government groups post on there as well, say for jobs and for changes. You know, we're going to change this, we're going to build a school, we're going to incorporate this place, all things which are interesting to companies and therefore helpful for your career.
Yeah, there might be all kinds of information there.
Exactly. We think mainly about a network when we're thinking about changing jobs, but there's other reasons to work your network while you're in a job, even if you don't want to change it. So let's think about our hotel manager again. If you've got a job in a hotel, not the hotel manager, not your dream job of hotel manager, but let's say it's your first job and you're on reception. How much would the hotel manager want to know that there is a new hotel going up the road? If you saw that on Nextdoor, oh, Hilton are building a new hotel and it's like half a mile down the road. The hotel manager of your hotel wants to know that. What about when a local magazine is looking for hotels to feature? There are several in San Antonio, several like glossy magazines that you see when you go to places, and they all want local people to feature. What about if a local nonprofit is having an event and there are sponsorship opportunities? Wouldn't the hotel manager want to know those things? And wouldn't they be impressed by the person who brings them that information? Right? Someone who's really connected and can find opportunities and potential threats for the business that this hotel manager is running. Of course they would.
Yeah, even I would like to know those things. I think it's important to remember that it's little things like this that can often forward your relationships. And so maybe you think like, oh, maybe is it too easy, right? But what if you think about an IT manager, like someone from Amazon, and you think about how would local knowledge really affect a person like that? Well, maybe there's a new company coming to the same business park, and so there's going to be more competition for talent. Maybe that just means their team wants to hire now, right? It's that kind of advanced information that's often really helpful so that people can get ahead of the curve. Maybe knowing that there's going to be more construction will make it easier for the manager to know, hey, it's going to be hard for people to get to the office on time, so we should do staggered start times or more working from home or flex time. Maybe you find out on something like Nextdoor, or even, you know, there's a lot of Facebook groups. I don't know how effective they are, but maybe you find out from a Facebook group or something that there's an increase in local crime. And so maybe that IT manager wants to consider allowing people to be escorted to their cars or having the light in the parking lot fixed. Maybe they want to take a cab when there's a late night meeting or something. Maybe it's as simple as, hey, there's a new restaurant and maybe your team wants to, you know, celebrate there or go to lunch there. Maybe they do like a discount, right? Like, oh yeah, because a friend of mine, we know a company that's coming in here locally and they're opening a new pizza place. Well, they're doing locals discounts. If you come in like the first 2 weeks, you get a locals discount. It's like half off. And a big company like an IT group, they probably order in lunch occasionally and they're local. Wouldn't they like to get half off pizza and then the company gets business? And it's those kinds of things. It's so simple, right? It seems so trivial. And yet it's so easy to be involved in something like that.
Yeah. And how hard is it when you're the person, you know, the team's just finished a big project and the manager says, hey, organize us some lunch. And you're just like, oh my gosh, where do I even start? Like, what does everybody like? Which place will get us in and out in a reasonable time at lunchtime? You know, how far are we going to go? How are we going to get there? You know, there's a million things to think about. And if you knew, oh, there's this new pizza place and they happen to have a meeting room and they're doing half off, that makes things easy.
Everybody loves pizza.
Exactly. So next up, we have same professional level. So one of our most popular casts is called Is This Normal? And it's popular because many of us don't know what is normal when we reach a new professional level. You know, often people say, oh my gosh, I never knew that being a manager would include all these things. Or I never knew that being a director would mean that I had to stop doing certain things. When we start working, we think, is it really normal that these people, these my peers, aren't helping me? Or is it normal as a new manager? Is it normal for my direct not to communicate with me? Is it normal for me to wish I could give feedback to my skips and just get really frustrated by it? And so on and so forth. Like, there's a million things. And colleagues on your level can really help you assess what's normal and what's not.
Mm-hmm. It often makes it a lot easier to feel like you're not the only person in that boat to talk to people on your level. And so one reason is to help to assess what's normal. And another is to make contact with people to find out how to get out of that level. Oftentimes, we want to move up. We want to change jobs. Maybe you're wondering whether you should get an MBA. And you could pull 10 of your contacts who are at your level and see if they know people who have MBAs and whether or not that's helped their career, whether or not it helped them get to the next level. And that's something you know, could ask the people who achieve the same level as you, let's say.
Right. And it's not that you have to know people with MBAs. You have to know people. And those people will know people who have MBAs, right? If you know 10 people and each of those people know 10 people, if you ask your 10 friends, not did you have an MBA, but do you know anyone who has an MBA? Then you've just asked effectively 100 people, mm-hmm. which is way more useful.
Yeah, more data, right? Maybe you're a small business owner even, and you want to know if hiring an accountant is a good idea. Okay, well, you can ask all of your small business owners, you know, the people you know who are at the same level as you, and find out, do you guys have an accountant? And how's that going? It's so simple to ask those kinds of questions. And there are hundreds of young professionals groups and leadership groups all over the country, as well as online. And think about the people you went to school with. Those people are probably at the same level as you about now, or something comparable. And you can reconnect with those people. And it's pretty easy, right? You have a shared history, a common bond. And so you can just reach out. And one of the really good places to do that is alumni groups.
I would suggest that, but I can't say that word. It's one of those words.
That's totally fair.
I can't get the letters in the right order.
Well, it's a really great place to meet people at your level.
It is. If only you can pronounce it. So we talked a little bit about online and we've talked about offline. So before we talk more about online, let's not discount the in-person contact. So don't just think because you can find people online who fit into one of the categories that we've described that you don't need to meet people in person too. And, you know, we have great friends that we've made online. I have this job because I reached out to Mark and Mike online. I hadn't met them. But in-person contact has a different quality. It's richer and you don't want to miss out on that. It's much more likely that someone will drop a gem as an aside in a conversation when you're talking to each other, when you're face to face. The difference between working at home and working in an office for me is when you're working from home and you talk to your colleagues on the phone, the conversation tends to be much more directed. It's like, hey, I need this. Do you know what the answer is? Brilliant. Thanks. Bye. Whereas when you're in the office, you know, you see what time people come in. You see their demeanor. You hear their conversations. And so you know much more about what's going on with them. And, you know, maybe someone comes in and says, oh, gosh, they've got the road up again. And you just think, okay, good. I'm not going that way home. It's those little tiny gems that you miss out on if you're only having online conversations.
That's so true. It's a different interaction because the purpose of the phone call is the thing you called about. But if you're in the office, there's things like coffee rooms and things like that. And so you bump into people and you have these kind of more informal conversations. And that's the kind of place where people drop things like, oh, there's a new pizza place going in. And of course, we really want to be engaged in in-person contact. And that's part of why we suggested going to these groups. And there's also online homes for a lot of these places. And so that may be where you make first contact. There's forums or discussion groups where you can ask questions. And some platforms like LinkedIn and Facebook will have these groups, lots of groups, actually thousands, to allow you to fill in the gaps. And then you can go and meet these people, sometimes in person as well. And so we want to suggest a combination of both, right? We want to have these in-person relationships as well as online ones.
Yeah, I can imagine someone in a small town somewhere where it's, you know, 100 miles to the nearest big city might not have a whole bunch of groups around their profession or their industry. They can certainly make geographical friends or create geographical relationships, right? Because they're a small town, they probably know everybody. But maybe they would have to do the professional and the industry groups online. And then once in a quarter, once every 6 months, drive to the big city and go to one of the meetings. So you have to balance it according to what's available in your area. But in my experience, every time somebody has said to me, there's nothing in my area, there's a lot more than they think there are. There is a lot more going on than you ever think there is. So don't like just discount it. Don't just think, oh, I can do all of this online and never leave my house. You could, but it's not as good a way as going at least part of the time in person.
Good. The next step then is to move to adjacent areas. So we recommend that you have at least 5 contacts in each of the areas that we've discussed. 10 would be better, and more is even better, although the law of diminishing returns begins to apply at some point. Once you have enough contacts in these areas, then you can move on to other areas. Maybe, for example, our hotel manager might try to make contacts in the conference industry, or the IT manager might try and make contacts with the young professional local group so that she meets the next level of talent who become managers. Maybe you want to meet people in your geographic area that's next door to yours, depending on where you live and how the neighborhoods are. And maybe even a lawyer wants to make contacts with accountants or something like that, because that's an adjacent profession. So once you've amassed enough contacts in each of the areas that we've discussed, then you move on to the next kind of adjacent area. And that won't be hard, because by then you'll know so many people, and they'll know people in other industries, because hopefully they'll have, you know, friends who are in different professions or different geographical areas or things like that. And so it's easy once you know a lot of people to meet more people simply by the law of averages. Not because it's easy for all of us to meet new people, but because the people that you know, the more people that you know, the more people that they will know. And so you'll have further contacts to help you to move into these adjacent areas.
And just to be clear, we don't want you to actually wait. You don't have to say, okay, I've only got 8 people that I know in the industry, and so this person who's in the next industry, the adjacent industry, I don't want to meet them yet. Don't do that. Like, this is not it's not an order. It's a route, I guess. So, you know, you can be picking people up in adjacent areas. Like, you know, maybe if you go to a group that's the same professional level as you, you know, maybe you go to a young managers group, then you'll meet a bunch of people in different industries. Like, don't not make friends because they're not in the industry that you're not in. If you get to a point where you've amassed a good number of people in each of the categories that we suggested at the beginning, and then you can start to move to adjacent areas. Like, that's your new goal, as it were.
There we go. So having all of your relationships with people in your same circle can really restrict your ability to perform your current role and to move on to better things when you're ready. It's easy to find people to build relationships with. All you really have to do is go out and find those people, and suddenly your network has expanded as if by magic.
Magic. And relationships are the most important thing. You know, we say careers are built on relationships, results and relationships. You have to do your job well. But if you want to do a different job well, if you want to expand your capabilities, then relationships is the most important thing. So going out and meeting people is a really good use of your time. If you're thinking, I don't have time to do all this, yeah, 2 hours a month. Maybe that's how long a group meets for, 2-3 hours once a month. Use of that time to go and meet those people is a really good use of your time. So don't discount it. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all for this week. I hope it was helpful. We'll see you next week.